Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. What message about who or how you are is being implied by the self-hate messages? Example, the implied message in if you had a better practice, this wouldn't be hard for you, is that you're no better than they are. RL what you see. Reminder, never record self-hate messages. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, that's good. I sometimes wonder if I'm the one that you can't hear.
Who is this?
It's Alice in London.
Ah, hello, Alice.
It's very nice to be able to be in touch with you. Sometimes when you don't get somebody in actually getting through, I think it must be me, but who knows? That's a different moment, so it's not really relevant. I just had a lot of trouble with the phone, and whether or not I'm on earphones seems to make a difference, and I still haven't got to the bottom of it, but I will. Today, what am I noticing in terms of self-hating messages and what they imply? I like to point to the light, then the shadow falls behind me. That's what I like doing all the time. So I like to point to what's good. What's good is I like the idea. Part of me likes the idea of having a new guitar that's strung. This sounds like a sidetrack. I think it's to the point though. A nice new guitar which is strung like a violin, so it's really easy to play. And some messages inside my head say, you won't play it, you know. You haven't got enough time. And you're very happy just sitting quietly in contemplation. And music is actually quite hard work. And you're not using your violin and you're not playing the piano. And so what does it imply when I hear these things? It implies... Well, there's lots of different things. I just point to the light. I'm really happy that I like the idea.
Well, what it points to is you're a failure.
Thank you.
You don't, right? You don't follow through. You can't be counted on. Things are wasted on you. You don't even you don't even take advantage of the things you have. Why should you get to have more things?
Lovely. I love it. Do you know what's really... I'm dim enough for that doesn't dawn on me. And maybe I don't want to say self-hating things. So here's the thing. I quite often miss the point, and I'm all right with that. I notice it.
Wait. Because yes, that's more self-hating stuff. You miss the point in situations like that, which we all do. But that's the whole point of self-hate, being able to do what it does to us. We're conditioned to believe that there's something valid in it. But I bet you don't miss the point that often when it's about someone else, because you're not conditioned to think what they think. Right? So
okay.
You can see, so if somebody, if I told the story you told, you'd be able to see what was going on with me.
Got it. Yes.
Because it, like, right? Because it would just be obvious because it's not your deal. But when it's our conditioning, the self-hate that we're conditioned with, it's really hard for us to catch on to it.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So when I'm sitting in the shop playing out the guitar, having a play with it and enjoying it, I say to myself, this guitar costs exactly what your sister's guitar cost in 1970. My mum said, that seems an awful lot of money, when I told her how much it was. And I looked up on Google to see how much £60 in 1970 was.
The same as the guitar. This is not exactly a question. This is a story. And to tell you the truth, we don't have time for this.
No, that's true. Okay? I just want to know, is ego being really horrid to me when it says don't have the guitar? Or is ego really being horrid to me when it says, do have the guitar, because actually it's quite hard work learning a new instrument.
Here's the thing.
One's horrid.
Here's the thing. ego will always be horrid to us.
Yes.
In any circumstances, with any content, with any conversation that it can get away with.
Yes.
So that's why we're encouraged to notice it and then redirect the attention away from it, not be in a conversation with it. Because no matter how it starts out, before very long, it's going to get horrid.
Well, I keep getting equanimity. I've actually say to myself, I don't mind not having the guitar. I don't mind having the guitar.
Okay.
And I keep ending up with equanimity.
Alice, it's not about the guitar.
So it's
guitar
not,
is content, right?
Yeah,
and with recording and listening, you can catch on to, or you could jot them down, jot down the whole conversation. Who says this? Who says that? The opposites, that's that whole part of the aspects of the personality, so that we can see the conversation for what it is and not get caught up in it. That's
what
we're headed.
What do I do?
We need to move on so that we can hear from some other folks as well.
Loads and loads of things. There's nothing left. It doesn't matter. I don't mind. Thanks very much, Jerry. I'll listen and listen again. Very kind of you all.
Okay.
Hope you're
all right. Good.
Thank you.
Bye-bye for now.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Alice. Jerry, one of the things that struck me about that conversation is that that impulse not to look at self-hate is also self-hating, because it's the way in which we're actually not allowed to see that self-hate is self-hate and it's not me.
Yes, by getting caught up in the whole process.
Right.
Is that what you're...
There's a way in which
see what you're saying. Only wanting to look at the positive.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, there's two issues with that. One is we miss being able to look at self-hate as self-hating, right? Where we're not looking through it, we're looking at it. And the general principle of being programmed to avoid things is a very standard ego process, right?
Control
we don't
process,
we're not don't look at it because it's too unpleasant. Don't look at it, and it's basically still training us to be controlled, to do
by
what
it.
It's yes to do yes,
yes
by it
yes. And so if I'm with you here, so with that, if we go with Alice's example, it doesn't matter whether you get the guitar or you don't get the guitar, right? It doesn't matter if it costs a lot or it doesn't cost anything. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters about the guitar is, are you paying attention to the process that is being used to control you?
Mm-hmm. Because you're not the process.
Is that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, Sherry, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? And Sherry, one other thing. I'm hearing lots of background noise. I don't know if someone is unmuted by mistake, but I have no way to control that.
Okay, I'm not hearing anything, Ashwini.
Oh, good. All right.
I'm only hearing you and
great.
Previously Alice. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Tom in Texas.
Hello, Tom.
So thanks to Sangha, I've been able to see a process that's been controlling for many, many years, and it goes something like this with this session focus. I entered the focus in acceptance, and so from the last focus, it was just accepting, non-separating, not my ego, not my authenticity. It was just acceptance. So I enter the session in acceptance. And then I get into the new session focus, which is coincidentally acceptance. And ego takes that very session focus and starts looking at where I was, which was in accepting, and defining that. Was I or wasn't I? So that's the first debate. And then the second debate goes on into the blaming, which has been pointed out so eloquently by Sangha and even by this session, today's focus. Then it's something wrong with me. how could this happen again? And it's just, and then you can see that, and then it goes on and on. So, but it's so great to see this. It's just fantastic because it's not just this session or this practice. It's every single thing that causes me, that gets one identified is exactly the same every time. You get proficient at tennis and then for some reason stop playing tennis. You get proficient at golf and then for some reason it's exactly the same. And it's so enlightening to see it in this particular session focus, how it took accepting and then created that as the ego suffering. Very enlightening.
Yes. So what you're pointing at, Tom, is the basically the simplicity of the process that an illusion of separation uses to inflict suffering on human beings.
That nailed it. Yes, that nailed it. Exactly.
Yeah. And so the importance of that, which is what you started out with, is being able to see that none of this is personal. And the reason that none of it is personal is because there is no person.
Yeah.
Right? There is a human being. In this case, we call that human being Tom. In the same way that there's a flower that we call a rose and a tree that we call a pine and a this, right? So there, everything that is, we have labels for, and without that process of the illusion of separation, the ego is able to employ to cause us to believe that we are separate. It's not even that we are real. It's that we're separate from life. And then, well, are you the right person or the wrong person? Are you a good person or a bad person? Is that okay or is that not okay? Should you or shouldn't you? Will you or won't you? Do you or don't you? Yeah? And that whole process is what we call conditioned mind. It's how ego appears to be real. It's the source of self-hatred. And there's nothing personal about it.
It's so nice to see. It really is. It's and just seeing how it's everywhere. And it was Sangha that got me to the point of this enlightenment, I'll call it. But it was Sangha that pointed out the non-separation, the no me, no I. And it's been and repetition actually, because it's been pointed out a million times, and then finally it just all made perfect sense.
Yes, which is what we're going for, isn't it? And that feeling of relief that comes with it, the feeling of compassion that comes with it, right? Because we can see that there's no evil doers here. Right? It's this degrees of identification with that same imaginary process.
Hmm. Yeah. Thank you very, very much to every single caller and listener.
Yeah. Yes. Oh,
thank
yeah.
You.
Oh, and again, before I let you go, Tom, what you're underlining that is critical is essentially what we were talking about with Alice. Right? It's really, really, really hard to see it for ourselves about ourselves. But it's so clear when we're together and we're watching one another, right? And we see the same patterns and all of us caught in the same patterns over and over and over. And it begins to dawn on us that this is a process. This is not anything that is our fault. We're not causing this. And that's that opening for the enlightenment that you're so enjoying right now.
Yes, that's the freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So thank
All
you.
All right. Well,
gotcha.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom. Sherry, just underlying that last point, that it's so hard for us to see when we're caught in it, because the pronoun is I, right? I or you. And yes, it's such an automatic identification with that's who I am. And so it's so hard to see it as a process, but that the ability to witness it when everyone else is talking about it is what allows us to see that it is a process, and then make the movement to not to unwind the personal for me. I'm not the cause of this suffering. It's just simply how it is. And I loved what you said. There's no evil. It's just degrees of identification with that process. Well, and the other thing that dropped in is how the first duality is the separation from life.
Oh, absolutely. And and that comes so early on, right? And once we buy into that,
we're off to the races. Yes, because me, me is by definition not life, right? And that's the first place that the that's within quotes separation happens.
Yes, and the trickiest piece of all of this, and what makes this practice doomed to be unpopular, is that what we're grappling with is there's no me. And ego is just not excited about entertaining that as a notion. There is no such thing as a me. Well, then what are we talking about here? Well, we're talking about everything that is when we're not focused on that tiny illusory dot of an ego.
Not focusing on that tiny illusory dot that is the ego. Absolutely. All right, here's our next caller, Sherry. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Eleanor in Athens. Hi.
Hello, Eleanor.
Hey, well, what a magnificent week. I think what... let's see, what shall I say? The early, some of the, it all's connected, right? But some of the earlier calls this week really supported me. And what I'm seeing is, I think, and I'm excited about looking at this more, is that place of being identified and having unconditional love at the same time, or the mentor with me.
It's the most powerful place of practice.
And I think I actually felt it. I think I actually experienced it. And it's been well, it's not been there, you know. It's been the story and the standards have been there about being identified. And then I know the experience of being lit up, but then that I found that there can be a long period in between there that with awareness. It's kind of tricky, and hopefully it's not too long in there, but most recently I woke up.
As long as it is.
Exactly. It can be really long. And I woke up, and, you know, ego had me in the stories during the night, and I just was like, oh, my word, you know, what's going on today? And so with practice, and then I think what happened was I was down, but I knew that story that it would pass. That was the first thing was, well, you know, this will pass by and you can go on and have the day can be the day. You don't have to be stuck in it. And gradually life gave me little messages, like an email came in of something, you know, supporting me. Or it was just incredible, one little piece after another, till I finally got it. And I went, oh, you know, that thing of life is calling me to this.
Yes. The little breadcrumbs, right? Little breadcrumbs of insight along the way. Yes. So, Eleanor, with what we've been talking about so far this morning, this is the next piece of it, right? That there you are. You've been practicing. So, if you're with somebody you love, you can see that they're identified, and you can see the goodness that is their inherent nature, and you can see how they're caught in a process of ego. You can see that.
Yes.
And so now what you're describing is being there for Eleanor. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's the hardest place to do it, right? Because that, you know, ego stronghold is not in your loved ones. Not for you. It is for them, but it's not for you, right? It's in you.
Yeah.
So you can be all the unconditional love for everybody else you want, but when it comes to Eleanor, now she needs to be watched and judged and improved and fixed and monitored and, right? And so what you're describing is being able to see that ego process at the same time you're seeing the inherent goodness that is that human being that we call Eleanor.
Wow. Wow. And that's a big step toward acceptance.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
That's a big acceptance.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. In fact, we don't know it, usually, right, when we're in it, but that's the only way it can happen is in
mm-hmm.
acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually in that moment accepting everything exactly as it is, and that can only happen from awareness.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Wow. I'm speechless. you know, and it, oh, wow. Wow. Okay. Just keep on and creating the openings for this to happen. Is
That's
how
right.
it happens to continue
that's
on.
That's where again the patience and humility comes in. That's where the not my will but thy will comes in. Right? As long as it takes to clean all this mess up, I'm here to clean it up.
Phew.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Right? Cuz that's right? Ego would say, okay, you've seen it, so now let's get over this suffering stuff.
Mm-hmm, I've heard that one.
Not until every little iota of ego is eradicated.
Okay, well, I'll just hold that tight with much gratitude.
Holding on to the love.
I think that's a huge piece. It's a huge piece, that yes. place of just getting criticized for being identified is something I've seen, but I couldn't quite let that I could never quite, you know, receive the rest of it or something. You know, it was there.
That's right. And now you see that the only way out of identification is love.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, great.
Very
Thank
good.
You.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Go happy.
Thanks, Eleanor. Sherry, that process that Eleanor was talking about is so important, right? That we keep showing up and we keep showing up. We do the recordings. We turn our attention to unconditional love as a mechanism to invite into awareness all of what is so, right? The ability to be aware of what is so that when in the midst of the identification, instead of only receiving the messages of self-hate or ego, we actually receive the messages of life. And it's a miraculous experience to become present to something dropping in to say, this too shall pass, or here, let me hold your hand, or all of these ways in which life is constantly talking to us that we're impervious to until we sufficiently practice to expand the reception of it to that place of me that is not the ego. I receive those, right?
Yeah, and to recognize it for what it is.
Yeah, right? It's just
that's
miraculous.
That's the trick. It's always there.
Yeah.
It's always there. It's what's bringing us home. But mm-hmm. we don't recognize it for what it is.
Not only don't we recognize it, we can't even receive it till we've done the practice of showing up and have the transformation of the receptors happen, even if we're not conscious of it as an experience, until we become conscious of it as an experience, which is what Eleanor was pointing us to.
Yeah. And Tom before that. That's that process.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, here's, I think we have time for one more caller, Sherry. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rebecca from the monastery.
Well, hello, Rebecca.
Hi.
What are you
seeing? Oh, good. I want to say my version of what y'all are just talking about, because it's so beautiful. So the raised eyebrow was a very familiar you're in trouble message. That meant basically what I'm a failure. I'm a disappointment. I'm a washout. That's the self-hating message. And
it's not content specific, right? It's not.
No.
Well, you didn't do that correctly. No, it's global.
It's across the board. And the you're in trouble was a message. I mean, you know, as a kid, we used to say, you know, we used to hear, oh, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. And that it was always this undefined, nebulous threat that you never really knew what it was, but it was bad. You know, and so it's been, you know, it's been a karma that's just done a ton of harm and damage to me this lifetime. So this part of training the receptors. So I've been doing this practice where for the last week or so, where I set my timer for 15 minutes, stop, and then write down what's going on in the mind, the timer, and then redirect the attention to love just over and over. And noticing how many times those thoughts are, you're in trouble, you're doing this wrong, you're going to get in trouble, you're going to get in trouble. And so I've been looking at it, especially in light of this exercise. And then what clicked late last night, and oh, it was so being guided to this, is that's not the point. None of this is the point.
Oh, that is a moment, isn't it?
Oh, it was so liberating, so just delightful. I laughed out loud.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Yeah.
And you know, the beautiful thing that ties in with what we've been talking about on this call is how well-guided every step of the way. So, I mean, just Ashwini's musing article mentioned missing the point. And then the first, I went back after Bev's encouragement on Good News Update, I went back and started reading the Buddha Laughing Again book, and that first page was mistaken identity. I mean, it was, and then a recording came in late last night about that, pointed to that exact same thing. And it was like, oh, just thank you. I'm, you know, just drip. It's the opposite of the Chinese water torture, whatever that is. It's just a drip, drip, drip.
Dripping unconditional love on you, right?
That's
until finally
it.
You're just soaked.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you were talking, you know, when you were describing that, your little exercise that you're doing and that sort of thing, I was thinking of Anna and Bev talking last night about I Know Why the Buddha Laughs, and thinking that that would be a great little thing to add to it, which is looking over at the Buddha and winking, because you know the Buddha is winking at you, right?
Oh,
right.
I love it. I'm going to do that. I love it.
And the beautiful part about that, Rebecca, when we see it like that, so in that little book, you know, I mean, do any of us believe that there is an actual Buddha somewhere, the little fat guy with a big grin? I mean, the Buddha means enlightenment or awakening, right? That's what that means. So, I mean, you can look anywhere and see the Buddha laughing.
Uh-huh.
Right? It, the sunshine on a leaf, the deer trotting away from the water after being startled, the blue jay diving into the, you know, everywhere you can see the Buddha laughing when we look for it.
Oh, I love it. And that is so what every mystic ever said, you know, and just to see that in a very tangible way like that, and have a way to incorporate it.
That's right. Here's one, Rebecca. I am the thingness of everything I see. Right?
Oh, I love that one. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for that. That just made my 15-minute practice so much, just even funner.
Even funner. All right.
Even funner.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rebecca. And, you know, Sherry, just that place of the Buddha is just another aspect of me, right? It is me in that sense.
That's right.
And so
right.
The turning to whatever.
We are inherently enlightened.
That's right. And that's the dialogue we've been talking about all morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly so. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And so, yeah. So for anybody, I'm with Rebecca. Anybody who hasn't seen the Musings article, that's one to add to the list. That's a read it and record it and let it sink in. So, yeah.
All right. That brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. And here is our assignment. The self-hating message is that as we are, we're not enough. Enough for what? What does that mean? If you were enough, then what? Assignment. What does self-hate say you are missing? RL, what you see.
That's kind of it, huh?
Mm. Yep.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Go happy.
Go happy.